Grand Slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Carolina Morelli, a USA foil fencer. She's a certified health coach, corporate wellness and women's ministry speaker. And she has quite a story. It's filled with adversity, perseverance, and certainly we're going to talk about her athletic side. As a fencer, I'd like to welcome Carolina to Blessed to Play. Carolina, it's so great to have you on.
Oh, it's so great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, I know off air, I had to ask you, how did you get involved with fencing? And has some family roots, some family ties. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my grandfather was a fencer and my father is a fencer or was a fencer. And so it's been in my blood. I just remember as a little kid, like you could not tear a wrapping paper roll out of my hands, or, you know, plastic lightsabers. If it was long and I could hold on to it, I would be sword fighting with it. So definitely runs in the family, and my kids fence now as well.
Now, it's one thing to be a fencer, but then to do it competitively in competitions, when did that fire start in you?
When I was in my 20s, I started competing and I loved it. And I had 20 years off then. And as soon as I came back to it, it was like, I have to get back to this. Like competition is so much fun. It's, you know, it's great to be able to see how far you've come in your development as an athlete, and to be able to compete with people all over the world is like, it's really, really, it's fun. It's challenging and you get to make friends. And so I love for it. I live for competitions.
So many of our listeners are not familiar with fencing, and, you know, like other sports, there's a lot of practice time. There's probably a fitness and nutrition aspect to it. How many hours do you have to put in to just getting your skills up to an elite level?
Yeah. So every athlete's going to be different. I'm doing something athletic 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 47 years old. So for me, it's not just about like the sport, it's about longevity and health and wellness. But I train once a week with my coach privately. And then I take two group classes a week. If I can fence on the weekend, on a non-compete weekend or a weekend where there's not a tournament, I do that as well. So I average between like 3 and 4 days a week fencing. And then, you know, I weight train and I do cardio and all that stuff, in between. So there's a lot to it. I have a friend of mine that's a world champion fencer, and she fences every single day. She's weight training like 5 days a week. Like her level is, the amount of time that she's going to put in is going to be very different from your recreational fencer versus somebody like me who's, you know, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, mm-hmm. I own a business, and I only have so much time to be able to train, but that's like her full-time gig. So you're going to see different amounts of time put in depending on what your goals are.
So when you're fencing and you're in a competition, talk about how long is the competition? Does it take up all of your weekend? What is the dedication that's needed to do this on a competitive level in tournaments?
Yeah. Okay. So they're different. We have regional tournaments, we have national cup tournaments, and we have local tournaments. So like I competed last at 8 o'clock in the morning and I didn't leave till 5 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I did two different events. So each event, depending on how many fencers are competing, it can be 3 hours, it can be 4 hours. And then, you know, you get like a national cup and you're there competing in, you know, you may compete in two different events, three different events in a day. And so you're going to be there all day long. So it really just depends. Like if you go to a local tournament, you do one event, you may be there 3 hours. So it just depends on how many events that you're competing in and how many fencers there are. Cause you can have, you know, 100 fencers, you can have 20 fencers. You don't know. So it's just going to be different every time.
Yeah, I would imagine the better you do, also the further you go on in the competition, the longer it is going to be competing at that particular event. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. We're chatting today with Carolina Morelli. She's a USA foil fencer, certified health coach, corporate wellness and women's ministry speaker as well. We'll tap into that in the second half of the show. Now, I understand, you know, fencing made the news, I think, about a month ago, and we talked about a competition at the University of Maryland, and you were at that competition, but there was a woman fencer who took a knee, and pretty much she forfeited a match. She was going against a transgender male athlete. And you said it's not uncommon for you to practice, sometimes even compete against males, but this was a woman's only competition. Maybe you could reflect back on that time at the University of Maryland and what transpired there.
Yeah, that was a day. These two athletes were on the strip next to me, so I never actually saw Stephanie Turner take a knee. And there wasn't like a lot of hoopla taking place, so I didn't know anything had happened, but I had seen the trans athlete downstairs. I was actually doing my warm-ups right there with that athlete, and I did not know at the time this was a trans athlete. I thought it was a woman, but I noticed how big and powerful this athlete was, and to the point I actually was like, I hope I don't have to fence with her because she's gonna kick my butt. It was this particular event that day was what's called Div 1. So it's the NCAA athletes. And, you know, in fencing, we have ratings. So it's just like in martial arts, you have belts and like a black belt, the highest you can go. And A rating is like the black belt of fencing. So those are the kind of people I was fencing with. I'm not at that level, but I was there to learn and get better. So I've actually never been scared to fence with another fencer before. My training partner is a man. He's 6-something and probably 225 pounds. But for some reason, I felt scared and I took note of that. I didn't end up having to fence with this athlete. And it wasn't until later in the day when we were in between events and I started noticing like the hands and some of the features looked very masculine. And then this athlete began to speak and it was a man's voice. So I was like, oh my goodness. And it was that particular event that we were all in was for cisgender women. USA Fencing has a rule that if you are transgender and you're going to fence in the category that you identify with, you have to have 1 year of hormonal treatment mm-hmm. under your belt before you can compete. So technically this trans athlete wasn't breaking a rule within USA Fencing. But obviously, we've all seen what has transpired now, and it's been very messy, very, very ugly and very messy.
Yeah, and for Stephanie, you know, having trained and wanting to compete and then going to the competition and having to do that, I think it took a lot for her to take that knee. And you mentioned to me that if you were in her situation, you would have done the same thing.
Yeah, you know, this is a very, very, very touchy subject. I've chosen to keep my head in the sand for a while just because I do have friends that are transgender that I fence with that I love so much. They're actually some of my favorite people to fence with. But I do have nieces and I have goddaughters and I have friends that have daughters and that are in sports and I see what they're starting to come up against. And I'm just at this point now, like I can't keep my head buried in the sand because I don't want stones thrown at me. But if mm-hmm. we don't start standing up for women's sports, we won't have women's sports anymore. It will be taken over. After a lot of reflection, I realized like, wow, you know, had I been in that situation and I had no, like, I didn't know at the time you could take the knee and I didn't know that you would get blackhearted for it. Like, I'm still learning all the rules in USA Fencing and all their policies and whatnot, but I probably would have done the same thing. And then, you know, I did go to the National Cup in LA after that. I chose not to take a knee. I chose to write the board of directors instead with my concerns. And, it was a very, very respectful exchange. I did have some conversation via email with the board. But I offered solutions that would allow transgender athletes to continue fencing, but would also protect cisgender women's events as well. I do have a very dear friend that is transgender. And I did fence with my friend a few times in this tournament. I chose not to take the knee. I chose to actually just try to support my friend. There were protesters there, and it got ugly. It got very, very ugly. And I felt like the best thing I could do was use my voice with the board and offer solutions. And, you know, I made that decision after a lot of prayer. I was actually pretty sick over it in the weeks leading up to going, not knowing what I was going to be facing. But USA Fencing is now in the spotlight, and they're having to make changes. And so we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah. Bless to play Ron Meyer. Once again, we're chatting with Carolina Morelli, a fencer, corporate wellness and women's ministry speaker as well. Now, also, there's para athletes that compete, from my understanding, within the fencing community. And you have some type of affection for these really courageous athletes who perform pretty well despite some limitations. They're very, you know, they work hard at what they do, and they're also out there competing.
Yeah, actually, the para fencers are incredible. They're absolutely incredible. Watching them fence is unbelievable. And just for people that are listening to this interview, and they, you know, maybe you've watched the Olympics and you've seen a person get up out of the wheelchair afterwards, and you're like, what is this? They're not paralyzed. So if you're a para fencer, it means you have a disability. So it may mean that you have something going on with an arm or a hand, and, you know, or a leg. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're completely paralyzed. So the para fencers, I've got a friend of mine, her name is Shelby, and she's an Olympian. Like, and she is she had a stroke as a little kid. So she can walk, she's got braces, but she competes in a wheelchair. And so the athleticism that they have to have, their core strength and their arm strength, their upper body strength, is unbelievable. Like, they work really, really hard, and they're a lot of fun to watch.
That's great. Okay, we're going to take a break now. And on this side, we're going to talk about another side of Carolina Morelli, her life of faith. She dealt with a lot of adversity. She persevered through it all, and she's here to tell us her story when Blessed to Play returns right after this.
Mother Angelica answering the call.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Hey, where are you from?
I'm from Rhode Island.
And what is your question?
We just buried another young brother, 59 years old, another sudden death. It breaks our heart because we were a family of 12. Now we're down to 6. All sudden deaths. Now, my sister just called me, dear Mother. She has a husband in a nursing home who's 80 years old with Alzheimer's disease. She was really crying tonight because he's failing so fast. And, you know, sometimes it makes her wonder why she lost her brother so full of life and her husband who is 80. Mother, I told her to turn your program on because you've always lifted my spirits. I told her to listen to you because we don't know why. Only God knows why.
Well, I think it's natural for people when you have someone young or middle-aged die, and then you see somebody, you say, well, they're old. But see, that, we're thinking the thoughts of man. See? We would give the Lord great honor and glory if we could say, Lord, I don't know why. I don't understand, but I trust you. Oh, he's so happy when you say that. You can trust the Lord. Whenever he calls, whatever time he calls, whoever he calls, you can trust.
If you like what you hear, Mother dishes out more teaching, advice, laughter, and plenty of prayers every Sunday at 2 and 8 p.m. Eastern on Mother Angelica Answering the Call, only on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Carolina Morelli, a fencer. She competes in competitions and had a little, her family introduced her to it, her dad. And she took up the sport, fell in love with it, and continues to do so despite being a mom. You know, her time is limited, but she managed to you know, set some time aside for fencing and staying healthy and performing optimally. But that, you know, her health wasn't always a strong, let's put it that way. In fact, after giving birth to her second child, she came down with septic with group B strep. It almost killed her. And that was immediately followed by a C. diff infection that almost killed her as well. And she had to recover from that. I think it was a 2.5 year process, Carolina, for you to recover. But that really was a time of adversity for you, especially being so active. So tell us that point of your life, the challenges that you faced.
Yeah, that was really hard. I'd never been deathly ill before. And I, at the time, I was actually in full-time music ministry, and I was scheduled to go out on tour with my band after giving birth to my youngest son. And I found myself laying in a hospital bed fighting for my life instead. And it was not in my plans, but looking back, I see that I was given a gift that just came wrapped in really, really ugly wrapping paper. And during that time of recovery, like, I was gripping onto my faith. I had, a 3-year-old and a newborn, and my mother-in-law was also dying from cancer at the same time. So it felt like we were going through hell, literally. And, as someone who's been an athlete my entire life, like, my goal every day was just to get up and walk to the mailbox and back, and then I'd be back on the couch the rest of the day. So it was pretty traumatizing for me. I was never alone with my kids for 1.5 years because I was so sick. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't function. And it's a very, very humbling and vulnerable place to be, but it's also the place where you really see how God shows up and surrounds you with people and takes you on a journey that leads you closer to Him. So it was pretty wild. Yeah. I don't want to repeat it ever again, and I don't wish it on my worst enemy, but it brought me closer to the Lord, and it ended up leading me into a total career change and total lifestyle and nutrition overhaul, and my life has never been the same since.
Well, just hearing you talk about it, obviously it was a very difficult time of your life, and faith has always been part of your life, but tell us, was your faith challenged? How did you respond during that? It's the, why me God time, or I'm at a God time. I mean, how did you handle that from a faith perspective?
Yeah. So I remember laying in the hospital bed and I looked up at the ceiling and I was bawling my eyes out. And I was like, Lord, I don't know how you're going to turn this for my good. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I had plans, and being in a hospital bed was not one of them.
Yeah.
I don't remember being angry at God. I remember just being really confused because, here I was supposed to go out on tour with my band. Like, we had been working for 2 years on a project, and it's like snatched and literally in a matter of days gone, just mm-hmm. totally gone. And so I felt really confused about what God's plan was and like why He would lead us down that path to just take it away. I still honestly don't understand it, but I don't remember being angry with God, just really confused. But I leaned in more to my faith, and it really showed me, like, I don't know how people go through life without faith. I really don't. Like, my husband and I, we look back at that time and we were surviving, like, just trying to make it through every hour. And we were in a constant posture of prayer. And we saw God come through, and he always provided, mm-hmm. and he was faithful to us. So it grew our faith. It didn't take away the questions, but it grew our faith, and we just saw God come near to us. So that was really cool.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. We're chatting today with Carolina Morelli, a foil fencer and also a corporate wellness and women's ministry speaker. So you've had an interesting faith journey in the sense that, I think your mom was Protestant, your dad was Catholic, and you went to both churches. You had your foot in both churches. But I think there was a time in 2016 when you went through RCIA and did confirmation, and you had a journey back, if you will, to the Catholic faith. Maybe you could touch on that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was the most unexpected, wildest ride ever. I really was honestly like very anti-Catholic, even though my dad and my bonus mom and my family, like everybody's on fire for the Lord, born again, spirit filled Catholics, read their Bibles, like all the things. But my encounter with the Lord was in the Protestant world. I went to Protestant school. My mom was Protestant. She and my bonus dad were deacons in their church. And so I heard a lot of the like anti-Catholic speak just from that world, mm-hmm. not so much from my mom or my bonus dad, because they actually had been Catholic and then became Protestant. But I really, you know, it's kind of like the game of telephone where you hear at the start, like the sky's blue. And by the time it gets to 30, around to 30 people, the sky's like doo-doo brown. So what was interesting for me was when I was in music ministry, I ministered in both Catholic and Protestant churches. And as I got to know my Catholic brothers and sisters in the faith, like I learned so quickly that I had heard a lot of untruths about what they actually believed. Mm-hmm. And God took me on a 10-year journey back into my Catholic roots. And, mm-hmm. you know, my parents never made me do confirmation. I did have my first communion, but the Lord just took me on this wild journey. And I ended up going through RCIA and ended up, you know, going to confession for the first time after like 30 some years, and had to go and I went and apologized to all my charismatic Catholic friends for making fun of them for going to confession. Cause I had a really awesome encounter with the Lord in confession. It was wild. So I'm like, I'm so sorry I made fun of you. I was so ignorant. And then I did my confirmation, and my husband and my kids and I, we're all in a charismatic Catholic church here in Charlotte. And it's been a really, we're bridge builders, you know, and when we talk with our Protestant friends, they can't believe that we're Catholic because we don't speak like Catholics. And we're like, well, we just love Jesus. Like, I don't know. We were both, you know, in the Protestant world. So, but it was really, really wild. And I felt like when I came back to my Catholic roots, I felt like I was given a treasure chest, and it was like, you know, you go into it and like, you never reach the bottom. There's just always something new and cool that you learn. And so when my Protestant friends asked me like, oh, well, do you feel like when you became Catholic, like your faith got stunted? And it's like, no, are you kidding? Like, I have a treasure chest. You're missing out, man. There's like so much more. So, it's been a journey, but I have great love for my Protestant brothers and sisters and my Catholic friends. Like, I'm like, look, we all love the Lord. We worship a little bit differently, have a couple of core beliefs that are different, but at the end of the day, like we love Jesus, we want to introduce everyone to him. So,
you know, one thing that came to mind listening to you is that you still have this joy in your voice, and you could be beat up by life, right? And you've had every reason to kind of go down that road based on the adversity that you spoke of. But why don't you talk about joy? Sum it up for us within Carolina Morelli, how she keeps that joy going in her life despite so much adversity.
Yeah, you know, one thing I've learned in life is that your joy can't be dependent on your circumstances. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm in a season right now that's really challenging and difficult. And I'll tell you, like, spending time with the Lord every day is, he's my source. He's my joy. Like, he gives me the smile, puts a smile on my face, you know. And also too, like, you know, connecting with other women of faith that when you are going through a hard time, like remind you who you are and bring you back to the Word and what the Word says about you. And so always my faith, getting outside, fencing, of course, like I could be having the worst day in the world and I pick up my weapon and I'm like, all right, I'm like, I leave and I'm so much better. So I feel like God has given me fencing as a source of joy, but ultimately, or fuel, like it helps to fuel the joy, but ultimately the joy is, it's in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
We have a few minutes remaining, but I want to talk to you about faith and competition. It sounds like you have quite a little feisty spirit. So when you're competing, do you turn into a different Carolina Morelli?
Yeah, I am not competitive in anything else, but the second that I get on the fencing strip, I am like gung-ho. I love to compete in fencing. I absolutely love it. And to me, it's, you know, when you put your fencing gear on, it's like you're putting a superhero costume on. Like, mm-hmm. how can you go wrong? Like, I mean, you're in a superhero outfit and you're holding a weapon. Like, and I don't know. Like, when I think of myself, like with my faith and spiritual warfare and all that, like we have the helmet of salvation. We have a breastplate of righteousness that we wear every day. Well, in fencing, I wear a mask. It's a helmet, and I put a chest plate on to protect my lady parts. You know, I don't have a shield, but I have a sword of the spirit that's in my hands, you know, and I'm constantly reminded when I get dressed for fencing, like it's like spiritual weapons. And I actually, when I'm fencing, I'm always asking the Holy Spirit, like, show me how to fence this person. Like, teach me how to fence better, you know, like, and it's wild. Like he actually does help me fence better. So it's cool. Like how you can incorporate your faith with your sport, and everybody's going to do it differently. But yeah, I definitely turn into a different person on this trip. I'm like, people are like, I didn't know you had this side of you. And I'm like, yeah, only with fencing.
Yeah, I had that image in my mind of St. Michael with the sword. You know, I think he might be the patron saint of fencers.
Literally.
Well, Carolina Morelli has been our guest. Quite an athlete, folks, on the fencing circuit, and continues to do so despite being a mom and also spending a lot of time sharing her stories through speaking and just being an encouraging presence to others in her everyday life. Carolina, thanks so much for joining us. I did enjoy your story and talking a little bit about fencing, which I did not know much about, but thank you for making me more aware of that sport and for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was a total joy.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed2play.com. You can like us on Facebook. Hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play. For Carolina Morelli, I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.